can imitate the cruelty of a human being. Not all, but some human beings. No animal. I just cannot even describe it.
I never found nature to be that brutal.
No, when you see the life in jungle. Yeah. So they throw themselves, the big lions or the coyotes or the, no, with the spots, how you call them?
Tigers, leopards.
And they grab this small rabbit in the mouth and eat him over. But, so this is brutality. But it has an explanation and a reason. Human brutality, when performed, is usually without any reason. Contrary, you know, it defies the reason. It's against the reason. Against nature and everything what is with us. Because if you see a man killing another and by 10 meters, 20 meters from there, he sees the smoke from the crematorias and he knows that tomorrow he will go, but he still kills the one because he hopes maybe the German will like it. What else, dear, you want to know? What shall I tell you? I can talk from here till the next year.
Well, I think what's important is
maybe you could sort of
ask big fish.
As far as if there are lessons to be learned.
But this is my point, and this is the tragedy of my life, that I see that from such untold tragedy, what I tell you is a little point in a book, in an epic of a big author. It's just the point. The tragedy is that it was in our times, and we seem and we claim to have a mind and intelligence, and we didn't learn anything. Partially because the layer of these leaders is desperately trying to erase it. And instead to feed us with lies, with heroism and brutality, which we were not part of. The story of the real happenings are the people who know are gagged, and it's not only me, and the people who try to tell the story are imposters. They were at that time in the Soviet Union, and I am happy for them, and they have no idea what really happened. So with a situation like this, we couldn't learn anything because nothing was told to the people, to the new generation. And we are bound to commit the same mistakes we did, which brought us to this terrible tragedy in burning people alive and killing for no reason whatsoever.
So what is the lesson for American Jews and what's the lesson for Israel? Since they're going to be celebrating the 50th anniversary, now you're not gagged. So what would you tell them?
I would tell them, before they make any decision, first of all, to pick up, to choose people who have something more than ruthlessness in their physics, who are human and can identify themselves with human sufferings, because this is our history, human sufferings. To lead the Jewish people, you have to have a person who understands human sufferings. To learn about our life, not from hoodlums, from liars and imposters, but approach people who can tell the story, and from this to learn We did not learn anything.
Okay, so what should they learn? You keep saying Rabin, Shamir, they all say the same thing as you.
They have to learn.
How would you do things differently?
Being surrounded by enemies will bring our doomsday, because we are in the minority. Because we went through so much, we have to be susceptible and sensitive to the needs of our neighbors, and the neighbors are Arabs. And without making peace with the Arabs, we will never have peace. And we are, even if we are winning now, if we lose only once, it will bring to the final solution of the Jewish nation. Because we have now only two places, United States and Israel, where we amount to something. If the Jews from Israel will perish, the American Jewry will go by itself, will die by itself, and vice versa. And then, above all of it, I am not smart enough to understand why we don't want peace. I just cannot understand it. I cannot understand why Shamir wants, supposed to express himself, that he can direct the policy which is now maintained in Israel for another 10 years. In other words, he can be at war and be a war criminal and torture the Palestinians for another 10 years. And after the 10 years, we will sit down with them or they will be like the roaches in a bottle. I want to know why. I want to know what stops us to stretch our arms and make peace with people who never hurt us. Now, you cannot give me the example I gave you before of this ocelot or the other animal who grabbed one rabbit. I am fully aware of the during the war, the fascist who allied himself with it. I know about the existence once of Mufti. I know it. But what will this teach us? What, I also know that Shamir wanted to follow Mufti. He too wanted to make a kind of agreement with the Germans. But why should we stop and talk about this at the time when all Palestinians are starving to finally have their homes and their children and their husbands and go out and work and make a living? Why do we stop them? What do we want? Now, hiddenly, I am mean, because when I start to talk about the relations of the Jews and the Palestinians, I can't help, but I am in the skin of the Palestinians. I have a filthy thought that the Jews want to exterminate the 1.5 million Palestinians. And I cannot understand. I just can't understand. And even more, since I am leaving behind 3 sons and their wives and a grandchild, I am afraid that they may meet finally my faith. I love my children. Nobody knows how. This is it. Nothing else matters but these children. But I once couldn't help and I said to my son, I will rather see you dead than go through what I went through. And I will repeat it right now. So how can I sit here and witness what is done to the Palestinians? How can I sit here and have in front of my eyes those little children who are placed in the front to go and fight and protest the mistreatment to their people? And frankly, I just cannot understand it. I want somebody come over and try to tell me at least one rationale. I don't ask for a whole picture. I want to see one reason. What are, in which way are the Palestinians in a way to a prosperous and normal Jewish country? If I would know, I would be against too, because I want to see, I am against countries. I want to have the whole earth united. But being as it is, I will advocate a Jewish state, but not a garrison who goes out every morning or at night and brings back that Palestinians. I can't take it, and it kills my life and my mentality. That's all.
Those are my two brothers. And this is the only room that doesn't have pictures of my nephew.
So what your question is, whether it was obviously growing up Jewish in Poland, this whole notion of Jews as the chosen people and so on. What was your feeling, your faith in God and in this going through that very terrible period, whether it was in the ghetto or in the camp afterwards?
I was born into a Orthodox family. But unlike what I think now about the Orthodox, my family, and I am not partial, just a statement, was extremely honest. My father, when he believed in God, he really believed. Really. And no division. Mother was more modern. You see, in the later years of my life, and I was not a mild child. If my parents would be alive, they would say I was hard to raise because I had my will, and being good in school put them a little bit in doubt, so they did not try, to mold my mind. My other sisters followed them, and my brother really, he was like a saint to please the parents, was the only one. I was harder to raise, and when arguments would come up and discussions, I would say to the father, if you wanted me to be religious, you shouldn't have sent me to the gymnasium, because I learned there, I happened to be good in physics, good in chemistry, and I now interpret happening in the universe differently than you. It's wider for me.
There wasn't a case of a lot of Jews belief that God had forsaken the Jews.
About the Jews and God. The one who believed, you see, I cannot get in into the heads of all of them, but I know that there was a group of Orthodox Jews, and they were not liars, not fakers. They really believed. But there was a very big group of Jewish people who were assimilated. You see, the survival in Warsaw was much easier for the assimilated. You could have your stores open later, you could do business with the non-Jews. It was easier. So a big, big, big group of Jews was assimilated, but they were Jews. Then was a leftist fraction of Jews. I knew some of them, the teenagers in their school age. They were not only not believing, they were spiteful. They liked to spite and, play tricks on the Orthodox. Let's say on the Day of Atonement in Yom Kippur, they would go out on the street and eat. And this was simply catastrophic for the Orthodox Jews, because they right away saw the revenge of God, that God will kill us all. When I was growing up in gymnasium, and I'm telling you, I was not the best pupil, but I was a dilettante. I smelled from all the parts, and I knew a little bit everywhere. I naturally did not follow the Orthodox religion. And then, for reasons, it's not important now, but my father bought for me and for my sister jobs. My job was in an Aryan office, the Standard Oil. It was on the beginning, it had a Polish name, but then with the approaching of the war, they merged with Standard Oil. They were all the time, but there was a game in the name, because under this name they could prosper better, they could make dealings with others. And my father got me the job. There I was in a non-Jewish company, and I had to go and work on Saturday. Now, get this picture. Father, an Orthodox Jew, but intelligent. He read all Jewish papers. He had an agreement with the paper distributor. They delivered him the five papers. He would read them and then give them back and pay by months. But he was intelligent, but he was Orthodox. So he did not believe that God will be bad to the Jews. And this caused a horror during the war, because he refused to protect himself against the war. His belief was that the war, the God, won't do it to us Jews more than for 6 months. And God won't, and God won't, and God won't, and all the time with the God, and God, and God. Which made me embittered. How can a human mind be so limited and hang yourself up toward a non-existent force? And then when I saw what I saw, and I saw the sufferings and the death and the punishment the Jews suffered, I severed my relationship with the abstract. No, it's what's down there on the earth which occupies my mind. And it reminds me, Khrushchev once said, "I'm sorry, there is nothing upstairs. There is nothing upstairs." And this is my answer. I think I answered, if you don't mind. If you want more, I will tell you more. But this is it.